2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Promo code WIN, W-I-N, gets you 7 free days to see what is going on behind the Army barrack walls. I'll give you a little preview, though, right now. We've got the Domination Station up and running for your NASCAR events, your PGA events and whatnot. That's always good. And you can also check out our MLB VIP lineups page and all the different tools that we got going on there. You get access to Burnsy's Analytics Quarter, which is always good as well. Check out Keith's page and check out the DFSA Army grades that go into all this stuff as well. It's a great deal to get in right now, but try us out for 7 days for free first. Promo code WIN and tell them that you heard us on the podcast. I am your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Got my man Keith Hall back in the cockpit with me as always. Find him on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. Finally back off my 4-day hiatus. Took those last 2 days out there to go to the FSTA conference. Good experience for everybody out there. I will say, though, if you didn't make it this year, I wouldn't kick yourself in the butt there. If you want to become a good DFS player, I don't think that these conferences are necessarily for you. However, you're trying to be a big personality in the business like we are. I think it was sort of mandatory that you get there.
Thanks.
Well, at least two of us were there, me and Kev. So.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot for that one. You want to talk about just, spoon to the heart,
that was not my intention. That was not the intent.
Who is the guy in Robin Hood? The Sheriff of Nottingham is going to cut my, you have just now cut my heart out with a spoon.
No. Well, again, you were represented very well. It was tough, right? So when you go up to all these different people who have well-established companies, Kevin had the DFS Army swag on both days. I went for more of the casual dress-up look there with the jeans and the polo shirt, the button-down and whatnot. But it's funny because you have all these guys and, when they ask, so they kind of do it kind of like with the puffed-out chest, like, well, what is DFSA or what is DFS Army? And you kind of got to explain it in, a matter of 5-10 seconds so that they don't run away, screaming with boredom or whatever. But, it's a lot of people seem to really like what we were doing. Everybody thought that the Domination Station was a very catchy, name for the optimizer tool that we got there.
Except for the Fantasy Cruncher guys.
Yeah, well, we did not talk with them. They were kept a safe distance. But, there were some really cool people out there, like Rick Wolf with Fantasy Alarm. Got to give a huge shout-out to him. Me and Kevin, we ate lunch with him because what they do is one of the board members sits at each table. So, everybody from the conference got some really good FaceTime with one of the big names there in the industry. Now, he's the one who started up like NBC Sports. He also did CBS Sportsline, a lot of these great sites that, we've all come to know today. And, he was one of the people in favor. He was like, Domination Station. I like that. But it was really cool just, hearing how a lot of these early DFS stories began and, how everything came to be what it is right now. So, huge shout out to him. There are a lot of people that really talk. I'm not going to go name by name here, but he was definitely one of the people that really made an impact on us.
Yeah, he was one of the first people I started listening to on Sirius XM. So, I mean, I don't get a chance to listen to it a lot now, with, you know, family and what I do and everything, but he was one of the first, and it must have been nice to meet all these guys. So,
well, look, I was not trying to spoon your damn heart out there like an Italian ice at the beginning of the show.
No, I know. It's just, we've got a bunch of family stuff going on.
You were talked about very much so because, you know, obviously Kevin has all the credibility there within the, the football arena there, and as well with the MMA being ranked very highly. But, you know, when we talked about this, you know, your name came up as being, you know, the guy that runs MLB and NBA. You know, he's been to live finals and, you know, does very well on a day-to-day basis. So you were there in spirit with us. Don't you worry, Keith.
Good. I'm glad I was talked about.
You were one of my main talking points. I will definitely say that. So
I'm glad I was talked about. But as I was telling our buddy Wags this morning, you know, I'm just a normal guy that loves sports, so.
Oh, how romantic. All right. All right. So today on the slate, we do have the 4-game afternoon slate, which is going on right now. Same old thing, fellas. Stacks. We're talking about pitchers, and then we're breaking it down position by position. So let us get into this shindig. Who is going to put up some massive runs tonight?
I would have to say that the team that I'm looking at probably the most is not a Vegas type favorite as far as projected runs is concerned.
Okay.
You know, you've got the Yankees again, who are projected over 6 runs, and you've got the Rockies who are projected over 6 runs. One of those teams is not going to score 6 runs. My favorite team tonight happens to be the St. Louis Cardinals against Nick Pivetta. This is not a slide on you. The reason I like this is because Nick Pivetta came out and absolutely just went bananas the last time.
Sure.
Just shut down a team that was supposed to score, like, I think 6.5 runs against them and stuff like that. And so I think maybe people are going to – I haven't really got the landscape of it yet, but I think maybe people are going to be shy about, going against him after what he did. Now, granted, this could all change by, 6 o'clock Eastern time. But – as of right now, this is just kind of where I'm going. I do like the Cardinals, mainly the top of that lineup. Obviously, I like my Rockies and stuff too. But I think that's where I'm kind of headed. Now, the interesting thing is, and I know you're probably going to talk about them. We have a similar situation with Toronto going up against Tyson Ross, too, in Texas.
So. Yeah, I mean, that wasn't the one that caught my my first attention, although, we do have an 11 over-under total on that game. I'm looking actually to the Midwest tonight. I really like some Milwaukee Brewers going up against Trevor Williams. They're going to be in Miller Park. I dig that whole setting right there for a lot of those guys. And I think the Minnesota Twins today – you get David Holmberg, who, kind of believe he had a pretty good start. We really, in that last outing, didn't really know how it happened. I'll take a lot of these Twins bats going up against that lefty. We want to go with like a Dozier, Sano sort of thing over there. But, the Brewers and the Twins are both very interesting to me. I don't really care if the Yankees are going to be chalk tonight. I mean, we're going to have a double-digit amount of games in this one. So, I'm not terribly worried about that. But
let's talk about that for a second.
Sure. I just want to say, going against Ricky Nolasco, a guy that gives up some homers, really not worried about that at all.
Are you worried about fading them or worried about playing them? Because here's something that's interesting, okay? Ricky Nolasco is not what I would consider a good pitcher, a lockdown pitcher. Although he has shown the ability to do so at times this season. Now, the Yankees, with them being the highest run total and being the Yankees, they are going to garner a lot of ownership. Okay. As we know this. Okay. Now here's the interesting situation. They're probably going to be three or four, especially guys like Judge Holiday, who's got some pretty good BVP, Didi Gregorius, Starlin Castro, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Hicks. Those guys are going to be extremely highly owned. Can you fade them and go to Colorado, maybe pay a little bit more and get them at a lower ownership? I'm thinking that because we all know when guys start to get 35, 40% owned, I cannot stand playing them.
Sure.
Like it's very, very difficult for me to play guys that are that highly owned in tournaments. Why? Because it's baseball and anything can happen in baseball. And guess what? I can go and get somebody at a lower ownership that has just as good of a chance, if not more, than getting a home run. Now, I think the way to do it is to go get a low-owned stack and use like a Judge, a Holiday, or a Sanchez as a one-off. Mm-hmm. Or even maybe a mini stack if you're playing on DraftKings is like just your three-man stack.
My favorite free first baseman, Chris Carter.
Yeah, Chris Carter is another good one. Although I'm probably going somewhere else at first base.
Yeah, you're probably better suited to. Just, you know, I've had some good luck with him. Like me and him are vibing. You know, me and Chris Bryant.
Yeah, and on FanDuel, I can see that. You know, I can see doing that on FanDuel, mainly because Chris Carter's $2,300.
Sure.
But when you go to DraftKings, where Matt Holliday's 44 and Chris Carter's 37, you're talking about not as huge of a difference. I mean, you're talking about a $1,400 difference between the sites for Chris Carter, and it's only a $700 difference between the two on DraftKings. You know, so it's a $1,300 difference on FanDuel. I'm sorry, not 17. You know, that's a huge, huge, huge gap.
Right.
So I think on FanDuel it's viable. I think on DraftKings though, I think I would rather go with Matt Holliday hitting up in the order. He's got the BVP history. You know, he's going to be hitting behind Aaron Judge, which I wish they would move these two around. I wish Aaron Judge would hit behind Matt Holliday, just because I think Matt Holliday would get some more fastballs. I think he's more of an on-base guy, and it would give more. It would create more RBI opportunities for Aaron Judge. But who am I to argue with a World Series, you know, winning manager?
And also something to add in there too. I know I've been away from the game for about 4 days, but let's not forget the Yankees have not won in a week. So there is that as well.
Yeah, and they were projected to score how many runs yesterday?
I don't know.
It was almost what their total is today. It was pretty high. It was over six. I think it was the highest total on the board, actually, to be quite honest with you. And that was including Colorado. So yeah, I think it's a viable strategy, especially with the pitching options tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can go and you can get a Yankees in a low owned stack and have the ability to really, really, really put a hurtin' on some people.
Sounds good. Hey, let's not forget about the Cleveland Indians too, taking on the Baltimore Orioles. That seems to be a fun matchup for teams nowadays.
Oh, that seems to be a great, great matchup.
Yeah, right. All right, let's break it down positionally right now. There are people throwing baseballs off of a pitching mound. We call them pitchers. Who are your favorite?
Jeff Hoffman.
Jeffy.
Jeffy
likes apples.
It's interesting because what is Jose Berrios' price over there on FanDuel?
Oh, jeepers. He is 9,700.
Okay, and he's the highest priced pitcher?
That would be a true statement, Keith. I'm sorry. You're false. Carrasco by 100, but sure, why not?
Okay, so he's only got a $100 gap between him and Carrasco, right?
Correct.
So you can make the, you can make the argument that you can go either way in that one.
Sure.
There's a $500 difference between him and Carrasco on DraftKings.
Okay.
He is 11-4, and Carrasco's 10-9. I don't know about you, but I can't bring myself to play Jose Berrios at 11-4 or even, you know, especially on DK. Not when – and I know who he's facing. He's facing Chicago, who's absolutely putrid against right-handed pitching. But I do believe we saw this with Joe Biagini.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that Chicago came out and put up some runs. In fact, I'm not 100% positive, but I think Chicago's actually fared pretty well against right-handed pitching over the last, 7 to 14 days.
Yeah, I think even before I went on my little hiatus, they weren't really striking out that much either, if I'm not mistaken. Now, again, I really haven't paid too much attention here over the last 4 days, but I think you certainly got some cause for concern. I mean, just going against the Orioles seems to be like I mentioned it with the stacks. That seems to be like the fun matchup nowadays. I mean, they lost 12-0 again yesterday.
No, they didn't, because Manny Machado hit 2 home runs. 12-0 was 2 days ago.
Okay. Getting my days mixed up. All right, well, yeah, they lost 12-0 at some point. that conference, you feel like there's no world going on outside.
Yeah, I mean, it's – I don't know. It's kind of one of those things you're sitting there looking at. How is – how are they really, really, really – performing over the last couple weeks, and Chicago's actually the White Sox actually aren't doing that bad. Mm-hmm. I know the situation and I know the reasoning, but I just can't bring myself to play these guys or play Jose Berrios at 11-4. Not when there's the Yankees, Coors Field, the Indians, the Cardinals. It's June, ladies and gentlemen, and
all month
pitchers in today's MLB are utterly convinced that the ball is juiced, that they've done something to the ball.
It's just June.
I can't pay for that. I can't pay that price. Not for a guy that I don't care how good of a matchup he's got. I just can't pay it.
Fair enough. On the lower end of the totem pole, let's see if any of these names are going to interest you. Not even so much the lower end here, but Jeff Samardzija, we've seen him pitch pretty well. I know he's in Atlanta. But, again, I haven't been too impressed with ball flight there recently. Also got Sean Newcomb on the other side of that matchup going against Samardzija. Rich Hill, a lot of people like him with the strikeout upside. I don't, not going deep enough into these games.
What's his price on FanDuel?
7,600.
He's 89 on DK.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's. I mean, you can go get Justin Verlander, Mike Fiers, Jordan Montgomery, James Paxton, Sean Manaea for cheaper.
Okay. Michael Wacha takes on the Phillies today, as we all know, not the greatest offense. And Jordan Montgomery against the Angels tonight. So any guys interested there?
Not Michael Wacha. He just doesn't look right. Jordan Montgomery, I guess, could be interesting. This is not a cash slate, by the way, by any stretch of the imagination. Because, I mean, you're sitting there thinking, okay, yeah, Jordan Montgomery, you know, before the last start against Oakland, against Baltimore, Toronto, Baltimore, KC, you know, that string of four starts, he allowed a combined four earned runs, and then he blew up for four earned runs against Oakland. We just saw this Angels team get to Michael Pineda last night. Now, they did strike out a lot against Michael Pineda, but they at least got to him. Now, two of those runs were unearned, which kind of helped your scoring with Pineda. But, yeah, I don't know about Jordan Montgomery. He seems like to be a shoe-in for a win and a pretty good bet for a quality start. But on DK, where I can go get Mike Fiers for 200 more in Oakland against a team that's not going to scare me as much in a better ballpark for pitching, or James Paxton for $200 cheaper, or Sean Manaea even, who grades out pretty high. You know, there's just not – all these pitchers have warts. I mean, you could make the case that Baltimore, they snapped out of it last night. Manny Machado looked healthy, hitting two home runs. Jonathan Scope hit an absolute complete bomb. I mean, Jeff Samardzija is going up, like you said, against Atlanta, who has some left-handed power, and that ball flies out of there. I mean, all these pitchers have warts, so I'm paying down at pitcher today. It's just kind of the way it's going. And one of my favorite options is, and people are going to call me a homer, but I talked about this. I've done a lot of research on this slate, is Jeff Hoffman.
Yeah.
I
like him too. He's done very well for me in the times that I've used him.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that in only one of his starts has allowed more than one earned run. And besides the last start that he made where he only got two Ks against San Francisco, who doesn't strike out a lot.
Yep.
We're talking 8, 9, 7, 8 Ks in those, in the four starts previous. One of those was against the Dodgers. The other one was against the Cubs. This is a guy that I'm willing to take a shot on, especially since nobody's going to go there in June. We know that the Diamondbacks offense is not as good on the road. We saw that again last night. Is there a potential to blow up? Yes, but there's a potential to blow up for every single one of these guys tonight.
Yeah, definitely. And again, too, I think that this is the perfect move for your low dollar GPPs. If you're really trying to, you know, jump up like 10,000 spots with a 1-2-3 inning with three strikeouts, that could certainly happen tonight with Hoffman. Again, we've seen the Diamondbacks have the propensity to strike out a lot this season. Again, you mentioned them on the road, but I think the main thing is the price on Hoffman. The price is just so right. And sure, hey, look, the environment does suck for pitching, but if the Diamondbacks don't make solid contact with the ball, you don't even have to worry about it.
Exactly.
All right, I dig it. I dig it. Let's talk about some catchers today. Who are we liking at that spot?
I mean, you got to start out with he's going to be chalk again. And, I mean, we keep talking about it and talking about it, but there's good reason. You got to start out with Gary Sanchez. He's got another good matchup, Ricky Nolasco. That park the ball flies out of. I mean, I think that's where you can start. There's also some other good ones. I mean, James McCann going against James Paxton. McCann is a guy who traditionally crushes left-handed pitching.
Oh yeah, James McCann, gotcha.
I like Mike Zunino against Justin Verlander. He didn't do well last night. Well, maybe he did. Did he hit a home run last night?
I don't believe so.
He did not. He just had a hit, but I mean, he's been crushing the ball lately. He's 4,100 on DK. For me, I really kind of like Tony Walters. He's 3,300 on DK, 3,200 on FanDuel. He's going up against Taijuan Walker, who the Rockies absolutely crushed last time that they faced. It gets me into a good ballpark. It gets me into a good offense. It gets me some salary savers, and it gets me away from some of the chalk. I mean, it's just it's a kind of a place that I'm looking at. I think Manny Pena is a good option as well, going up against Trevor Williams.
Hey, Manny Pena. We do have Buster Posey rated out as the highest catcher in terms of DFSA grades today. He does get the platoon advantage there, going up against Sean Newcomb today, the young lefty of the Braves. So really can't hate that matchup. We've talked about Brian McCann hitting over 300. Before I left for the break, he was hitting over 300 against left-handed pitching. Not sure how great he's been over the last 4 days, but you know, he's 7-20 over his last 5 games. Had a pretty big night last night. So I know he's going up against a very tough lefty in Sean Manaea tonight, but he is one of the hotter hitting catchers in the league. Let's see here. Avila is going to be out against the lefty probably. Yadi Molina, he's got 3 homers in the last 6 games. He's going up against the Phillies. I know you talked about having a Cardinal stack. Yadi, always a low-owned play with the bat, especially at his old age. So you got that. And then, looking otherwise, I'm not really liking too much. A lot of the hotter-hitting catchers here over the last week were on the early slate today. But I think we've laid out some pretty good plays. And again, Buster Posey, who I really like, is only 3,500 on FanDuel. So he's not, at his usual like $4,000 price tag over there. So I like him a lot tonight.
Yeah, and keep in mind, with Brandon Belt struggling as much as he is, Posey could find himself at first base. And that's going to open up Nick Hundley, who also has over a 200 ISO versus left-handed pitching this season, and he's 27 on FanDuel and 34 on DK. So I like Walters better, obviously, but that is an option that you can go to as well. I also don't mind Russell Martin, who's been hitting the ball a little bit better lately, going up against Tyson Ross in Texas. He's 2,500 on DK or on FanDuel. Now I don't think he's playable on DK because he's 4,000. And I can go get Buster Posey for $200 more, sure. Or drop down to Yasmani Grandal at 28. But I mean, he's on FanDuel. He's only $2,500. Mm-hmm. So in that ballpark, going against Tyson Ross, who I didn't think that Texas was a good spot for him. Now, I understand where he's coming from, because all he wants to do is just pitch in the big leagues and show that he can do it again. But, you know, he took a shot and he performed well last time. I just don't think that that's going to be something that's going to be sustainable.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, here's the interesting thing. It sounds like we're both pretty high on Hoffman tonight. That allows you to pay up for those guys like a Sanchez, like a Posey, some of those other guys. So
you should have no problem in
our line of thinking. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, you should have no problem if you just pay down at pitching and just say, okay, Samardzija can get blown up. Rich Hill's not going to pitch deep. Fires has a chance to be pretty decent. Verlander hasn't been himself lately. You know, if you start just going through there and you just say, okay, I'm just going to pay down, especially on DK, where you can basically have a Rocky stack and still play Jeff Hoffman, you can pop out I did a Rockies and Yankees stack with Jeff Hoffman, and the only other pitcher I can afford is Dave Holmberg. So you're going to have to give up something, maybe instead of Charlie Blackmon going Ian Desmond. But you can definitely get some good action with those two.
Yeah.
And get a pretty decent pitching option.
So. Word up, bro. All right. First baseman, who you liking there?
Goldie's tempting. Yeah, and he is. I'm going to let's see. He's on the early slate. Anthony Rizzo hit another home run last night. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. He's on the afternoon slate. Sorry. Yonder Alonso is a good option. Still 3K on FanDuel. Matt Carpenter, who Chop hates playing at first base because you can go get so many other people. Well, yeah, you can. But guess what? Matt Carpenter's producing. And he was under, I think, 8% owned last night.
Well, I want to add about him, too. 11 walks over the last six games, so that's just a very good indicator that he's seeing the ball well lately.
If you play Matt Carpenter, you better play Dexter Fowler to go along with him, because those two have been rocking since they made that move.
What seeing the Reds, Phillies, Brewers, and Orioles pitching in sequence can do for a man's ability to get back on the good foot.
What listening to Keith Hall could do to, help fix the top of your lineup as an offense. Also, Edwin Encarnacion just keeps hitting home runs.
Yes.
He's got, I think, 11 home runs in this month, I think is what it is. I'll have to double check that, but I know he's been absolutely killing the ball.
The parrot is back on the shoulder.
Oh my God, is it? And it's not even, he hit a mammoth shot last night. The last 10 games, 5 home runs, 13 RBIs, 12 walks, only 4 Ks. He's got a 542 on base, 882 slugging, and a 1.424 OPS.
He's got to be listed under DHs. I'm like, why am I not seeing him? If he's doing so well, how come I don't see it? Yeah, he's listed under DHs. Eric Thames listed today, 4 homers over the last 7 days.
He's hot again.
Yep, Justin very high.
Smoke continues.
I was going to say with Thames, that 4 homers over the last 7 days ranked, I believe, just behind there. With Edwin Encarnacion, but he has also struck out 12 times in his last 32 plate appearances, so it is certainly 0 to 100.
Yeah, and Justin Smoke is still, I don't want to say free, but he's still a good value there too. I really do like playing Justin Smoke in that Toronto Blue Jays stack, so that's always a way that you can go as well.
One more name, Matt Adams, again, lefties against the Marger, certainly the better way to go. Adams with the power there in Atlanta, not a bad idea. 8 for 21 over the last 7 days, so looking pretty good. 2 doubles, 2 homers as well.
Yep, and, okay, never mind. He's not listed as a first baseman anymore.
Who dat?
I was going to say Jose Ozuna.
Okay.
But he's not listed as a first baseman anymore, so we're good.
All right. And again, I like Chris Carter there, first base, if you're paying up for pitching tonight. But since I'm not, I'm probably not going to go that route.
There you go.
Second baseman, always love Dozier against the lefty. No different tonight. Like him a lot here up against the White Sox.
Yeah, he's been hitting the ball lately. I continue to talk about it. He's still under 3,000. Jed Lowry.
Yeah. There he is.
Ian Kinsler seems to be hitting the ball a lot better lately since he came back off the disabled list. He had another good game last night. He's still only 3,300. Let's see here. Let's find some value here. They're starting to price up second baseman a little bit more, so it's not the ultimate, punt spot where you can just go punt it and, hope to get 8 points out of the guy. Jason Kipnis going against Kevin Gausman. He's on the early slate. Starlin Castro, 3,500. See, it's weird because you got Starlin Castro, who's 3,500. I can go down to Robinson Cano for 32. You've got, DJ LeMahieu, who's pretty hot. He's 4,000, but I can go to, Ian Kinsler at 33, or somebody like that. So you can still pay down, but you don't. I mean, besides Chase Utley, it looks like a lot of the value, the lower priced guys, are on the early slate. So it doesn't look like it's going to be a below 3,000 day on FanDuel for second baseman.
Yeah, gotcha. Always, if you want that, I guess the low-owned exposure to that Yankees stack, Starlin Castro, if Yankees will be rounding the bases today, he should be able to knock in plenty of them.
Yeah, they moved him down to the 5 spot, which is more of a it's a better spot for him. He was never a cleanup hitter, but since they moved Judge up and Sanchez up, they moved him down. He's still right there. He's still a good option. And like you said, him and Didi kind of stay a little bit lower owned than, you know, everybody else. So.
Right. All right. Third base, what are we looking at here?
Nolan.
All right. You know that there is a hotter hitter at third baseman here over the last 7 days. I could not believe my eyes. I mean, we all know him. One of my favorite, Jose Ramirez of the Indians. 21 for 37, 10 doubles, a triple, 3 homers, 7 RBIs. Oh, and he hit home plate. He hit home plate 12 times as well.
Yep.
All this over the last 8 games. My goodness.
Yeah, he's. He is absolute, but on DK, you can play him at second base.
Okay.
So.
Okay, Jose.
I don't have to play. I can play both him and Nolan.
Very nice.
You know, which is very nice. So.
It would behoove you to do so.
But, yeah, there's, I mean, Nolan's in a great spot tonight. You've also got Travis Shaw. And Miguel Sano. I guess if you want to take a shot out there in Chavez Ravine, Wilmer Flores is going up against the lefty. We always know how that works.
Fred Turner in the same battle over there. 10 for 23 over the last 6 games. 2 homers, double, 5 walks. I like when I see some walks from these guys. It lets me know they're seeing the ball well. They're not chasing the bad stuff. Turner only has 1 strikeout here in his last 28 plate appearances. I mean, come on, man.
Exactly. And
the Wyndham Rewards Wizard crushing it.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Castellanos still 273 ISO versus left-handed pitching. Ryan Healy. Josh Donaldson, I mean, third base is, again, a loaded position for tonight.
Indeed. All right, up the middle there at shortstop. Who we like him?
Very, very quietly, Eduardo Escobar just continues to crush the ball. Mm. And not a lot of people are playing him. Now, his price is, oh, man, day-to-day for what? exited Tuesday game against the White Sox in the 7th inning.
Yikes.
Currently unknown, but the status will be updated. Oh, well, that's great. Well, if he's in the lineup, then we're looking good there. He just continues to consistently produce. Now his price has skyrocketed as it should, but he does continue to produce. Chad Pinder hit a home run last night. He's still really, really cheap. Xander Bogaerts, Trevor Story's hitting the ball a lot better.
Didi.
I'm trying to sit here. Frankie Lindor, obviously. Cleveland is all in play. Corey Seager.
Have a night, kid.
No kidding. Probably going to fade him tonight because he's probably going to be higher owned. But that's just kind of one of those game theory type aspects.
Yeah, 2 of those that he hit last night went oppo. Oh, another good sign for guys at the plate. Now, a couple of them were squeakers. I was kind of, you know, in and out of watching that game last night. I believe that's what I saw. But, you know, again, Chavez Ravine, not the greatest hitter's park, never been mistaken as such. So balls that squeak out there would have been just fine in other places.
Yeah.
But, yeah, huge night last night. Probably going to be pretty popular. I believe the Mets are throwing Pill out there tonight.
Yep, Tyler Pill.
No, that doesn't
going
mean
going up against Rich Hill.
Yeah, Pill against Hill. Well, now the Mets don't have a drug problem, but they're throwing their Pill out there, so.
Yeah, I don't expect either one of these pitchers to go past the 5th inning. So this is one of those days with that you really need to look at the bullpen. And the Mets bullpen is an absolute joke. But the Dodgers bullpen is actually pretty good. So make sure you get guys that if you look at the bullpen stuff, and I can post this again in my my channel. The Dodgers bullpen has two lefties. Now, the only guy that actually threw out of the pen last night was Brock Stewart. Everybody else got the night off. So they're well rested. I don't think I'm going to be playing a lot of Mets. However, the Mets bullpen, I think you might only be able to name one guy.
I know them a little better. I was laughing inside when you were like, yeah, make sure you take a look at the Mets bullpen. And I'm thinking to myself, and laugh.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jerry Blevins is a guy that I played men's league baseball with here a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Not right. Him for sure, really, but there I played with a guy named Jerry Blevins, so...
It's a stunt double.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, the only guy worth anything in that bullpen is Addison Reed.
Well, no, I was going to say, Blevins is pretty good, whether he struggled of late. But, I mean, Blevins has been...
He's the only lefty that's going to be available tonight, by the way.
Yeah, he's good with spotting his pitches, but...
Yeah, Egdon threw 42 pitches last night. So...
Josh Egdon.
Yeah, Blevins is going to be the only one available tonight. All so right. I would not shy away from the lefty bats of the – not that I would anyway because it's the Mets bullpen, but I wouldn't shy away from the lefty bats of the Dodgers just because they have multiple lefties in the pen.
All right. All right, let's talk about some outfielders before we get out of here for the day. Shall we all rise for the judge while he's at home?
I mean, you can, but I would much rather go cargo.
Uh-huh.
Who called that one yesterday? This
I
guy, two
I,
fingers.
I wasn't around until after lock, so all of your calls fell on my deaf ears.
Two fingers pointing towards this guy.
Okay.
So, I mean, he just absolutely owns Greinke. What can I say?
Oh, yes. That's right. I forgot about that. We haven't even talked about any BVP today on today's show, but that's okay. I mean, there are people that are probably clapping and dancing in circles that we didn't, but.
Nomar Mazara pops off the page right now.
Nomar.
So does Jose Bautista. I'm looking to a lot of outfielders. I'm pretty much, if you can't tell from what I'm doing, this is going, I feel like this is going to be a very, very high scoring night. I'm going to be having a lot of, exposure to the early games and a sprinkle or two of these later games. Cause I don't think the later games blow up like the early games have the ability to. So basically everything from Denver East, I feel has the ability to go over its expected run total of the day. And it's just nailing those right guys. And that's a big, big key. I mean, Cleveland's been hot. They're going up against probably the worst starting pitcher in baseball right now. Baltimore showed some life. They're going up against Carlos Carrasco, who I think they actually have some good history against. They suck against Carlos Carrasco. I'm sorry.
No need for apologies.
Well, I don't want to give wrong information out.
Okay.
We're
making sure the people are on their toes.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Walker hasn't looked healthy.
I was just looking at the total, the BVP over there. Howie Kendrick, 6-for-10 against him, 2 extra base hits.
Yep, and you got J.D. Martinez going against a lefty again.
Mm-hmm. Death taxes, J.D. versus a lefty.
Cespedes going against a lefty. Springer going against a lefty. You know, it's just Lonnie Chisenhall going against a lefty. You know, it's just lock and load. It's gonna be a fun night tonight, and outfield is loaded. Charlie Blackman's going against a righty. Cargo's going against a righty.
Oh yeah, I was gonna ask you, how about Blackman against Greinke? How's that gone in the past?
That was actually he's got over, I think, a 350 average or a 330 average against him. But Greinke struck him out the first two first two times up at the plate and made him just look absolutely horrible. Now, Blackman ended up getting a single and scoring a run later on in the eighth inning off of him. But, it was just, it was just one of those things that he did not look comfortable at the plate at the first two at-bats. And credit to Greinke. He's actually pitched pretty decently at Coors. That was the first time he's ever lost a game in Denver. Like I said, the Rockies do have his number, especially recently.
Yeah, I don't believe that we mentioned him during first base, but I believe he's available as an outfielder on DraftKings. Not too sure, but Cody Bellinger, I don't believe anybody is hotter with the power in baseball right now than this guy, or getting more exposure.
Except for Corey Seager.
getting more, getting exposure there for all the power that he's doing. So don't forget about him. And then. Well, I was, one more here before we get into him, but Matt Holliday, another guy that has that dual first base and outfield eligibility.
No, he does not.
No, he doesn't? All right, well, go back to first base for a second. Matt Holliday, great numbers lately, and he's got a great BVP matchup against Nolasco.
Yes, he does. Now, one thing about Cody Bellinger, I heard somebody tell me or ask this morning, who would you pick for National League MVP, Nolan Arenado or Cody Bellinger? And the guy picked Cody Bellinger. I don't know if he's just trying to create or stir up some craziness or whatever, but you've got to be kidding me, right? It's not even close between the two.
Where is this man employed by?
Our hopefully future employer, Sirius Fantasy XM Radio.
Okay.
Like, interesting. I don't understand. You're kidding me, right?
Because he's the hot flavor of the week playing in LA, Like, as a small market, I know that, you've probably been used to some of your guys been getting I know with the Rockies for a fact, you've been getting like dissed on a consistent basis, or not necessarily getting dissed. But
see, he doesn't just do it with the bat. He does it with the glove too, and I don't think you can compare Cody Bellinger and Nolan Arenado on the defensive end. Like, Bellinger's a pretty decent first baseman. He's good, but we're talking about the best overall third baseman in baseball getting snubbed by a guy that's played 51 games and just happens to show like a surge in power.
And again, this is also the opinion of one man, but yeah. And you also can't forget too that Bellinger, there was a point this season where he was missing sand falling off his camel, so.
And the only reason that he's getting this type of playing time is because Adrian Gonzalez is on the DL.
Yeah, I'm sure they will find a spot for him when he gets back. But sure, he is getting the extra reps because of that. Let's see here. Ben Gamel looking pretty good lately.
Yes.
Getting on base. He's a good option there against against Justin Verlander. So looking at him, your boy Ramel Tapia, probably going to be a good value option here today, 11-20 over the last six games, getting on base. Well, they should with the way that he's hitting. And, Ender Inciarte, don't mind him against Jeff Samardzija. Always got to attack Samardzija with the lefties. And I think that's where I'm going to stop for now.
There you go.
And Dexter Fowler, who you mentioned earlier. Like him too. All right. Sounds good. All right. That's going to do it for us today. If you like what you heard, use the promo code WIN, WIN, when you go to DFSArmy.com. Check us out for 7 free days. Afterwards, if you like us, let them know you found us on the podcast. Make sure that, let the higher ups in the company know that we're doing a good job here as well on the pod. We will be back tomorrow with a pod. Yes, we will be back. Yeah, we got some catching up to do since I've been gone the last 2 days or prior to this. So definitely looking forward to getting back on a regular schedule. I got a lot of catching up to do in terms of how MLB behaved without me for 4 days. So I will be doing that throughout the day. I'll have the article for tomorrow's early slate, nothing for the main because we got plenty of material, and then I'll be back on my regular schedule with the regular days too. So look out for all that.
There you go.
Any closing words?
No, not really. Not today.
All right. Fair enough. Good to be back, Keith. Good to be back in the saddle with everybody. I will see you guys in the MLB chat, and you'll hear our voices tomorrow. For me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.